There's a power in the blood of Jesus Christ that will never lose its effectual nature. 1 John in chapter 1 and verse number 7, these words of the Apostle John. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Amplified Bible adds, and keeps us cleansed. If we walk in the light, if we walk according to the word of Almighty God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, not just a part of it, but all sin, and keeps us cleansed, keeps us clean. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago today has the same cleansing power. It has the same forgiving and renewing power as it did then. As we partake of the supper of the Lord, we remember the blood of this new testament, this new covenant that we have with God. Jesus said that he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The blood that was shed on Calvary has got the power to cleanse us from all sin and to make us alive. When Jesus shed that blood, when he allowed that blood to flow, and they didn't take it from him, he said in John's gospel that no man taketh my life from me, I give it willingly. This man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, regardless of what you may think about him, loves you. Regardless of how you may see him or perceive him, he loves you so much that he let his blood empty from his body for your benefit, not for his own. And if you will put your trust in him and simply believe that what he did is effectual for you, God's word says that that blood will cleanse you from your sin and keep you clean. It's so very important that we understand what we're doing when we come together here around the Lord's table. Turn with me, please, to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians and chapter number 11. And let's read together Paul's instructions concerning the observance of the Lord's Supper. It's important that we not be casual nor careless about what we are about to do. Apparently in the Corinthian church, there was a great deal of abuse about the observance of the Lord's Supper. And we know that the supper had been instituted by Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed, his last night upon earth, flesh and blood human being. He gathered with his disciples in an upper room, and as they were observing the Passover supper, celebrating the deliverance of the people of God out of bondage, and by their salvation, deliverance from Egypt into the land of Canaan, that Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said as he was celebrating the Passover, this is the fullness of the meaning. This bread that I'm breaking symbolizes my body, which is broken for you. And then after dinner, he took a cup. And as he blessed it, he gave it to them and he said, I want you all to drink of this because this cup is the New Testament in my blood. I'm making a new covenant with you tonight. It will be made with my blood for the forgiveness of the sins of many. If there's no blood shed, there's no forgiveness. But when the blood came streaming down, sin was washed away for all of those who believe. At the church at Corinth, however, this celebration had lapsed into a free-for-all, so to speak. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church about their abuses, and he gives them a warning. Beginning to read in the 18th verse of chapter 11. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Apparently it was customary in that day for, as they came together to worship and to observe the Lord's Supper, to have also a common meal, a sort of a love feast. And these Corinthians, as they came together, they were so quick to eat that they didn't wait for their brothers and sisters to come. And it would be the same kind of situation as last Sunday morning. We had a dinner here, a common meal at the church after the morning service. And if that had been in the Corinthian church, everybody who brought something would have made a beeline for their pot, ate it all real quick before anybody else could have any, and those that could not bring or did not bring would go without. And they would get into the wine and get half stewed before the service. Paul said, I don't praise you in that, because you don't understand what you're doing. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. His body was broken that ours might be healed. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, and this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. When you celebrate the supper of the Lord, you are proclaiming your faith in the sacrificial death of Jesus, giving remembrance of that occasion with a faith and an assurance that he is coming again. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are saying to anyone who is watching, I believe that Jesus Christ died, that his body was broken, and that his blood was shed for me. It's a real experience for me. And every time I do this, I am remembering what he did for me, and I am looking forward with anticipation and faith to the fact that he's going to come again. Now therein you can see that the supper of the Lord is for Christians. It's for believers. It's for those who have received Jesus as Savior. It's for those who have a knowledge experientially of the new birth. Those who have been made new by faith in Jesus Christ. It is not something for the general public. That's why we don't do this in Kmart's parking lot. That's why we do it in the house of God, because it's for God's people. Wherefore, whosoever, now watch this, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What's he saying? Anyone who eats of this supper, who takes of the bread, and who takes of the cup in a careless, irreverent manner, is just as guilty of the crucifixion of Christ as those who drove the nails in his hands. Because that one who would irreverently or carelessly take of the supper of the Lord is one who has not received the revelation of Jesus in his heart. That person is still in his sin. That person still needs to be cleansed. He hasn't received the benefit of the blood, and he's guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says, I want to warn you, church, that this is just not while it's a piece of bread and it's a cup of grape juice, that the significance spiritually is terribly important to you, and don't you take this lightly or carelessly. Understand what this is all about. Understand what you're doing, and exercise care in observing the supper of the Lord. Verse number 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let a man examine his own heart. Let him look at himself and look at what he's really believing. Have you believed on Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul? Have you allowed the blood of Christ to wash you clean from all sin? Do you have your faith and your trust in the sacrifice of Jesus, or do you still have some confidence in something else? Let every man examine himself and be sure that he's experienced the Lord, and then let him eat of the bread and drink the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, there's that word again, carelessly or irreverently, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body or not understanding what's really going on, drinks hurt to himself. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or have died. Now that seems to be a terrible consequence for a simple error in the observance of the Lord's Supper. We are not just taking a little piece of bread, and we are not just taking a little cup of juice. We are celebrating the sacrificial death of the Son of God. And we are, by faith, expressing our assurance that he's coming again. And Paul said, because many of you have taken of that supper in a careless and irreverent manner, it has caused sickness among you, and some of you have died before your time, died young. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if we would examine ourselves and find out where we are and get that thing made right first, then we wouldn't be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Paul is saying here that God chastens us to help us to see our condition, so that we can determine whether we're lost or whether we're saved, so that we not have to be condemned with the world. And if we don't care about that, when the world is judged and when the world's condemned, then so will you with it. Now, I don't say we, because I've judged myself in this manner, and I know where I am. And I know the Christ that I have believed in. And if you have, praise God for that. But if you have not, won't you do it today? If you haven't yet, won't you make today your day of examination and your day of decision for Jesus? And let the blood of Christ cleanse you, and then you may partake of this supper. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I'll set in order when I come. Because the supper of the Lord is regularly and frequently observed in the church. There are many in the church, I was one, who partook over and over and over and over and over and over again of the supper from the time I was a teenager until the time I was 37 years old and did not understand in my heart. In my head, I knew what I was doing, but in my heart, I did not know. I had not given my life to Jesus. I hadn't been cleansed with His blood. I hadn't been washed clean. I was still in my sin. And I sit there and pop that bread, pop that juice. Praise God, I'm not dead. Thank God He waited for me. If you're not sure today about your relationship with the Lord, let me just say this to you. If you have believed on Jesus to the saving of your soul, you know it. You know it. If you're not sure, and if you don't know for sure that you're right with God, then you're not. Now, that may seem to be a bold statement to make, but I make it on the strength of God's Word, which says His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you're a child of God, you will know it. And if you don't know it, you're not. Now, some folks don't like me to say that, but it's the truth, and I'll say the truth. And at least we ought to know how to examine ourselves. Examine yourself according to that scripture. If you're not sure, won't you, as we come to pray here in just a moment, won't you just commit yourself to the Lord? Won't you just ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and to make Himself real to you? Give your heart to Him and ask Him for the cleansing of sin. If you have done so, I invite you to partake of the supper of the Lord. If you have not given your life to Jesus, then I advise you to withhold yourself from the supper. It will not be of any value to you, and it can be of harm to you to partake according to the Word of God. If your child knows Jesus, and you know that that child knows the Lord, and understands what we're doing, then you encourage that child to receive the supper of the Lord. It's for every believer. But if you're unsure of your child's relationship to Christ, or if you know that that child has not been born again, then withhold these elements as they're passed. And that's your responsibility as parents. The table is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our table. I'm simply His spokesman today. If you know Jesus, it matters not what church you belong to or whether you belong officially to any church. If Jesus is the Lord of your life and His blood has been applied to your sin, and you're a part of this new covenant that we have in His blood, then the invitation is given to you. There are some of you here in the service this morning that just this week have given your lives to Jesus Christ. Today you may partake of this supper for the first time in accordance with God's Word. And I encourage you to do so. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Let us pray together. Dear sweet Father, we thank You for this supper of the Lord, but more than that, Lord, we thank You for what it represents, the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ our Savior. Your Word says that without the shedding of blood, that there's no remission of sin. Thank You, dear Father, that with the shedding of the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, is forgiveness of all sin for all men, for all time. And that as we simply believe and trust, that that becomes an experiential reality to us, that it becomes real. We can know it. We can feel it. We can experience it. We can have an assurance and a certainty. I pray, Father, for every person in this auditorium today. I ask you, Father, that your Spirit draw each one. If there be one here this morning, Father, or more than one, that does not know you personally, that has not given his life to Christ, I see, Father, that this entire service has been for that purpose, to lead souls to forgiveness and salvation. I ask you, Lord, to draw by your Holy Spirit. Your word says no man can come to Christ except you draw him. We're asking you to draw. Do that precious work in their hearts that you've done in ours. Let each of us see ourselves for who we are. I pray, Father, for revelation among the saints, that the saints would see themselves as saints, that sinners would see themselves as sinners. Those that have been redeemed would see themselves as redeemed, and those who are lost would see themselves as lost. Right now, dear Father, we examine ourselves, we examine our lives, and we examine our hearts. And first of all, we examine our relationship with you. Have we been born again, or are we still reprobate? And if we've been born again, does our life shine forth the light of the gospel? In each of us, Father, we know as children that we have not yet come to the fullness of the stature of the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that even in those of us who have been born again, that there are weaknesses, that we're weak in our flesh and we're frail there. And that there are things that we have done and said that do not adorn the body of Christ. We ask you, Father, to forgive us of those things. We ask you now, dear Father, to apply the blood of Jesus to the hearts of the lost and to the lives of the saved. We receive the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, that it's effectual for us, that it washes us clean, it makes us new, that it restores us completely in your sight. And now, Father, we ask that for these elements that you would remove from them their commonness, and set them apart for this holy purpose, the bread, the cup, that as we receive, we commemorate the sacrificial death and look forward with eager anticipation to the glorious return of our Savior. We're not crazy, Father. It's really going to happen. It matters not to us, Lord, who goes with us. We've decided to follow Jesus. And bless your name, Father, we will follow him. Though none go with, still we'll follow. Bless this supper, Father, to our use. Minister to us by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. He gave so willingly, didn't he? Take, eat, this is my body. allow it to be broken for you. All right, if you desire to be prayed for healing, if you'll come now. Dad, would you bring your son? Bring your son. Anybody else who desires prayer for healing today? Just come on down, just stand right here, please. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just step right in here, sir. Okay, slide down there just a little bit, if you will, please. Yeah, everybody. Just everybody slide down just a little bit. Fine, so we can get this sister in here. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just feel the heart of the Lord today. He just wants to minister to his children. All right, I want you just to take the bread, just eat it. Those of you that are sick, receive your healing.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Satan, release this child in Jesus' name. And Lord, we minister healing to him in your name. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Father, for healing. For this, our brother, Father, we just believe with him for healing. That as he receives your broken body, he receives the healing virtue of Jesus into his body. And for this, our sister, we believe with her for her healing. That as she receives the broken body of Jesus Christ, that she receives also that healing virtue. Thank you, Father. And for this, our sister, we believe with her, dear Father, that as she receives the broken body of Jesus Christ, that she receives also his healing virtue, and that healing is ministered to her body in the name. And there it is right there. Just thank him for it. Just thank him for it. We agree with our brother, Father, that as he receives the broken body of the Lord Jesus in the sacrament, that healing is ministered to his physical body, and that he is made whole through the brokenness of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this, our sister, Father, as she receives the broken body of Jesus Christ, we believe, Lord, that she receives also the healing virtue that is in that wonderful name, and that she be made whole from her plague in the name of Jesus. Just receive, that's right there, the healing is just right there. Just thank him for it. Just thank him for it. Just thank him for it. Just bless 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 him. Just bless him. And for this, our sister, we agree, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as she receives the brokenness of the body of Christ, that she also receives the healing which he purchased. And I lay my hands upon her, Father, in the name of Jesus and in his place. And I speak unto this body and say, be made whole in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Be made whole in the name of Jesus, our Savior. All right. You may be seated now. Just your responsibility is to thank the Lord for what he's done. Just thank him. It's by faith that we receive his blessings. In the same manner also, after supper was finished, the Lord Jesus took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the New Testament, which is in my blood. It's given for the remission of the sins of many. As oft as you drink of this cup, you remember my death until I come. The cleansing power of the blood, the healing power of the broken body, yea, these many years after it actually happened, way back in that, on that hill outside Jerusalem. Thank you, Father, that the blood of Jesus never loses its power, that it always cleanses from sin, that the healing power of Jesus is never gone, it never loses its effect. but that it's available to whomsoever may believe and will believe. We thank you, Father, for this time of commemoration. We remember Jesus and his sacrifice. We eagerly look forward to the day that he'll come again to take his bride home to be with him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we bless you, Father. Amen.